Good morning. I don't know if this will be picking up. It's my V-neck isn't much. There we go. I can hear myself. I'm a very informal presenter. I do more Sunday school classes here than preaching. And there is a difference. But we had a Christmas party here in this church. I want to thank Ford and Sarah for filling up half of the church today. It's every row but one. But welcome to that extended family. It's always good to see you. It put me in mind of, I think it was maybe a year ago, and I had all of my children here, Ford. You may remember that. It was about 2 or 3 weeks ahead of Father's Day, but all of my children and all of my grandchildren, there's more grandchildren now, but all of my children were here, and we filled up, you know, 5 or 6 rows. But it's a great thing. Isn't it a real blessing to have your children here and everything? And I know that Derek and Heidi aren't here, and so with that would fill up where Alex and Jackie and Winston are. But anyway, my name is Brian McDonald. I've been in attendance here for quite a while. I went to the Christmas party. I was invited to the Christmas party for people that are in some leadership. I did mention that I often teach Sunday school class here. One of the people at the party expressed some reservation, some concern when we launch the church plant in Governor. Would we lose what we, if you're a regular here today, if you're a visitor here today, we have been blessed for about a year and a half with that kind of energy in our worship, the preaching of the word, the various ministries. The Lord has really blessed this church. And when we send probably 40 or 50 people down to Governor, what will it be like here? What will it be like there? Will we still be a church? Or will we be two churches? And that concern, that division in the church was expressed, and we did as a group. There was maybe, I don't know, 20, 30 people here. We prayed about that. And that is something that we have to continue to pray about, that we would remain as one church, even though we're in two locations. For those of you that are new to the concept, they're calling it a satellite church. We're still connected, closely connected. We're connected to Madrid, the CFC church, the original work. We're connected to their extension to Potsdam. They did the similar model. There's a church up in Moira, New York, up in Franklin County that was kind of birthed out of CFC. Kate and I went to a prayer meeting there. They're praying the same prayer. They're having the same issues. They want growth in their church, but they were in a small building. They did a capital project. We were small here. Ford could tell you the history of this church, but you know, we put on that wing. There were hardly any children. When we started the school year here this year in September, they gave out school supplies to 84, 85 children that attend this church on a regular basis. We've been richly blessed. Will we lose that? That is a concern. So I didn't pray at the meeting that we had. We were praying for Pastor Mike and his wife Judy and some changes that will be wrought in their lives as a result of that. I did have something to say, but I asked Pastor Mike, I said, when you're away for this weekend, January the 4th, I said, who's filling the pulpit? Because I think I have a message for us, one of unity. So if you would you open your Bible, and if there isn't one, if somebody near you has a Bible, I want to look at the first few verses in Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. He's not with them physically, but he's with them in spirit. He's sitting in a jail. But he's writing to them. I want to look at the first 7 verses of the 4th chapter. And the only reason that I'm spending a little time to introduce this whole thing is by virtue of the fact that we went, as I said, my wife and I drove up to Moira Friday evening and sat with those people. We know a half a dozen of them, maybe. But a young man behind me said, I want to share this scripture. And I just thought it was kind of a confirmation of what I'm sharing here. It's the same scripture. And I said, that's what I'm basing my message on Sunday morning on, is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. So right now we're going to do seven verses. I'm going to read them out of a New King James translation with a name on here, Charlie Pommettier. See, there are people that have gone before us. They've gone on before us. Charlie was bedrock in this church. Long before I never knew Charlie. I know of Charlie. There's another one of these Bibles. There were some under that cabinet there. An Osriel Reed. Osriel Reed. A foundation of this church. These are, you know, these names don't mean anything to you. They do mean something to me.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. These people went before us. We're standing on the foundation. They were standing on Christ, that foundation. But they were instrumental in this church when there were very few people. Very few people. When my family arrived, I have eight children. We arrived here in 2005, and we doubled, more than doubled, the youth group. It's a fact. So let's take a look at Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. He's sitting in a jail cell. That's why it's there. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. He's in prison because he believes in Jesus Christ. That's it. And not everybody in his day and age agreed with him. And the government didn't agree, and they threw him in a jail. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity. There's the word that we want to be speaking of, unity. To keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. In this body right here today, this assembling of the saints, there are multiple talents, gifts, and abilities. But we all didn't come from the same place. We all have, many of us have a background in Catholicism. Some maybe are out of Methodism. Maybe some of you are unchurched. There's a diversity here. And I think the spirit of division that we might be afraid of is one that's embodied in a song. One of the, can we give it up for the worship? The set, not just, but the music, those selections. One of those is a song by Casting Crowns, and this is another song by Casting Crowns. But they're Casting Crowns. The leader of that group, Mark Hall, and another guy named Matthew West, are two lyricists that have had a real effect on me. I like the music, but it's the lyrics. It's what's being said. So I've asked Sam if he would cue up this. It's cut two, right, Sam? Number two? Yeah, okay. If you play it, now pay attention to what's being said. In fact, I'm going to give you a few of the lyrics. Just listen to it. Listen to it, because we could always replay it. We could always listen to it again. But listen to the groups of people and how there can be problems. Go ahead.
City on the hill, said one old man to the other. It once shined bright and it would be shining still, but they all started turning on each other. You see, the poets thought the dancers were shallow, and the soldiers thought the poets were weak. And the elders saw the young ones as foolish, and the rich man never heard the poor man speak. And one by one they ran away with their made-up minds to leave it all behind. And the light began to fade in the city on the hill, the city on the hill. Each one thought that they knew better, but they were different by design. Instead of standing strong together, they let their differences divide. And one by one, they ran away with their made-up minds to leave it all behind. And the light began to fade in the city on the hill, the city on the hill. And the world is searching still. Soldier strength to fight. It was the fire of the young ones. It was the wisdom of the old. It was the story of the poor man that made it to be told. That gives the poets life. It is the spirit of the poets that gives the soldier strength to fight. It is the fire of the young ones. It is the wisdom of the old. It is the story of the poor man that's needing to be told. One by one will we run away with our made-up minds to leave it all behind. As the light begins to fade in the city on the hill, one by one will we run away with our made-up minds to leave it all behind. As the light begins to fade in the city on the hill, the city on the hill. Father's calling still. Come home to the city on the hill. Come home.
Thank you, Sam. I think there's something profound in that. This church once was prophesied over as a hospital on the hill, a place of healing for broken people to come and be touched by Jesus. Ford Reynolds has had a long healing ministry here. He's never healed anybody. He just prayed for the sick. And the Lord healed him. Not all of them. Things don't always go according to plan. The lyrics of that song speak of different groups of people. There are the young and the old. There are the soldiers, the real robust sorts of guys. There's the more of the performing arts. The dancers. There are those that are more of the fine arts. They sit down and they write poetry. And if you don't like poetry, you know, if you like sports, you know, sometimes that's how you have cliques in churches. But you see, the very diversity among them became the strength. The other thing about the lyrics in that, don't forgive me. I am what I am. I am a former English teacher. And I pay attention to tense, verb tense. This is an old man telling a narrative, telling a story of what happened to a church where they let their differences divide them. And they start saying, you know, they did, it was. And then it switches to is. And then it goes, will we? Okay, there's a distinction there. Okay, now, the point that I want to make is that in this group, we are different. We're different. And yet, that can be the strength if we recognize it as the strength. Now, if we continue on in chapter 4 of the church, of the letter to the Ephesians, if we skip down, I want to pick it up at verse 11. And he himself, capital H, he, capital H himself, he himself, God, okay, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the, here's the word for today, unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We do have a pastor. He's absent today. Okay, but we have an elder here. We had a Sunday school class. We have worship leaders. We have people that can play guitars and drums and sing. Not everybody is comfortable standing up. I mean, I can play the radio. That's what I play. A lot. Because I love lyrics and I love the music. I love to worship God. I love to sing in the car. All that stuff. All of us have something that we can contribute to this work. But if we think that come February 1st, it's going to be more of the same, no. This will be very different. That doesn't mean it's not going to be very good. It's going to be different. Somebody here is going to have to step in and fill in some of these gaps. The church down in Governor, that's maybe a whole different message for me to preach, but as time permits this morning, we'll probably touch on that too. But we have to keep in mind unity and that the diverse gifts of the people in this church are going to make it work there, and it's going to continue to work here. Continue to work here. Amen. Now, I was in a situation years ago where we had a church that had some of the same issues that we had here. There are so many people coming from such distances. People were moving from out of state to attend the church that we were attending. And they changed the physical structure as much as was practical. And then it was going to have to be a major, major capital project. And the leadership of that church got together with some of the, they didn't have any titles, but they were the leaders in the church, and said, what are we going to do? And somebody said, why don't we go and start another work in another community? The pastor of that group said, we'll put that word out, that we're not going to make a bigger building. We're going to advance the kingdom of God. People are going to, we're going to ask them point blank, are you willing to sell out lock, stock, and barrel? Sell your homes, sell your businesses, and move 50, 60 miles away. And they did. They did. There was only one man in that whole group that said, I think we should knock out a wall. We could make it bigger. Only one. All the rest said no. This is not about a building. This is about Christ's church. And six families sold their businesses, sold everything, and moved out. They're up in Franklin County, very close to where we went to Grace Community Church, which is the one that I alluded to, the meeting that we went to Friday night. The church up there struggled for a while, the one that they planted. The pastor was adamant that you have to have at least half a dozen families go so that the doctrine, the beliefs, if you looked at Pastor Mike's letter of December the 14th, these are the things that we believe. It's not the articles of faith of this church, but did anybody bother reading that? It was an insert in your bulletin, okay. These are the things that we profess, okay. There are other churches in Governor, you know this, and they're professing Christ too. They may not view it through the same lens, but if revival, we sing, you know, revive me, revive us, you know, when revival comes, they don't all fit in a building, folks. This is not about this church going down to Governor and trying to save a few people. This is, my view, this is a tremendous opportunity. I said this last week, a tremendous opportunity for a body of believers, that's Richville Christian Fellowship, to go and be effective for Christ in a very dark community. I have said to some of you privately, I was on the grand jury years ago. There are two communities in St. Lawrence County that are very dark, and Governor is one of them. If you need to know the other one, it's Messina. I could not believe the cases that were brought by the district attorney for what goes on when the sun goes down in Governor, New York. And some of you that reside there, were born and raised there, you know what I'm talking about. And those of you that aren't from there, but are going to start attending there, you're going to find out. You are going to find out. In my narrow-mindedness, a missionary is someone that leaves their home country and goes to a foreign country. And that's kind of my heart. Those of you that know me real well, that's me. But I do have room in this narrow mind that there is a tremendous harvest, a field that needs to be worked. And it is Governor. And I think that God has aligned everything for this group to take ground in Governor. I do think it is of God. I don't think it's coincidence. Now, my concern, again, is that this building will be somewhat emptied out. We won't be the same. The church that I said we used to attend, the church plant up there, it had kind of a slow startup, but it is pretty much thriving. The original church that I attended down in Jefferson County, not so good. And I don't have an explanation for that. But when I heard that there was concern here that something is going to change, maybe not so good, that we'll be somehow divided, that'll be the Governor Church and the Richville Church, there is cause for concern in my heart about that as well. So what do we do about this? Well, the first place we look at is this book. What does it say here? So why don't we take a look? I'm going to switch. This was I liked the verses that I read out of this from Ephesians, but I usually use the New American Standard. I want to take a look at Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 12, which we often read about the different giftings and stuff, but there's this other image of the body, and that there are no exceptions to this, folks. There's no one sitting here. I know some of you are just visiting for the day, but there are no exceptions to the church in Richville. Everybody is important, and we can't do what is proposed without you. It's not going to work if somebody decides, I think I'll sit this one out. It's what the lyric of that song was all about. The lyric of that song says, the poets thought that the dancers were shallow. The soldiers thought the poets were weak. The elders saw the young ones as foolish. The rich man never heard the poor man speak, never wanted to hear, I don't like that guy. I can't hang out with that guy. You know, we don't have anything in common. Each one thought that they knew better. And that church became divided. See, one old man said to another, you know, that church on the hill used to be great. Used to be a really terrific place. But then, like I say, it changes. But it was the rhythm of the dancers that gave the poets life. It was the spirit of the poets that gave the soldiers the strength to fight. It was the fire of the young ones, that energy that comes off of youth. It says, it was the fire of the young ones, it was the wisdom of the old. Some of us have been down this road before. Well, let me finish the lyric. It says, it was the story of the poor man that needed to be told. There's a poem that I don't remember who wrote it, but it's about an old man. I'm not the youngest guy. You know, I'm not the youngest guy in the room. I'm not the oldest guy in the room, but I'm probably beyond the median age here. Okay, so this is a poem, and I used to teach this to eighth graders. There's an old man, and he's on a journey. We'll call it, you know, it's kind of symbolic, a journey of life, and he's going, and he comes to this creek, and the bridge is out, and he gets his way across, and then he stops. And he starts looking around, and he finds an old log, and he finds bigger rocks, and he starts putting them in, and a young guy comes along to us, like at that landing, and the guy says, "What are you doing, old man?" He says, I'm building a bridge." "Well, you stupid old man. You already made it across." The old man says, "I'm not building it for me. I'm building it for you." Some of us older folk have made lots of mistakes. I'm glad that there isn't a youth class. I'm glad that I've got a great age range here. You're not foolish if you're young. You got a lot of energy that I wish I had. But I'm not stupid. It's the wisdom of the ages. I've made so many mistakes. And it's my heart that I don't want those mistakes repeated in my life or in the life of this church. And I think that's why I felt inspired. I said, I've never asked to preach anywhere. I never, when we were missionaries, I never asked. I got asked. But this time I did ask, full confession, full disclosure. I said, I think I have a message. Because I don't want this effort to fail. I don't want this church to fail, and I don't want the effort in Governor to fail. I want them both to be historic. I want something major to happen. I mean, major. Something that will be written of, much like we read about Finney, that big. And I think it's doable. But not if we think we know it. No, we know more than the guy next to us. It won't work. Won't work. So if we take a look at 1 Corinthians 12. Gee, maybe I do like that. That's a large print Bible. Maybe I should read. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, I'm not going to get through all those different gifts. I think I want to jump down to, I had it. Let's go to 12. Think unity, one, unit, uniform, united, unity, one. Verse 12. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. We were all made to drink of one Spirit. See, this has echoes of the letter to the Ephesians. I wonder why. The same guy wrote it. Different church, same message. Same message. There's one faith. There's one Lord. There's one baptism by the Holy Spirit. One. 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, it's not for this reason, and it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I'm not part of the body, it's not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but there's one body. And the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer. Now, I don't want to spend the whole time reading this, but how do we illustrate this? Ford, can I embarrass you again? No, I won't do that. Are you wearing any Christmas present at this particular moment? Are you wearing anything that's brand new? Okay. I am. What would it be? What's new?
Sweater.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Could I do without this sweater? Yeah, I have other sweaters. It's not called a sweater for nothing. This is not July. I need this sweater. Okay? It's new, though. Call it young. Okay, the shoes that whenever I do share here, I like a piece of music, so you heard some music. And those of you that have been around for a while, you know I do that. I always try to grab a song and then kind of preach off the song. The sweater is new, but there's something to be said for old. Anybody got a real old pair of shoes on? Real old pair. They're real comfortable, right? As opposed to maybe you got new shoes, new boots, new whatever, and they're not as comfortable as those old ones. Well, I'm wearing a pair of old shoes. I wore them symbolically. These shoes got to be at least 20, 25 years old. I haven't worn them in probably 2 or 3 years, but I haven't had the heart to throw them away. I wore these every day for several winters to work at church, or at the school that I did. But I wore them to church today. To make a point, okay, that the old are very serviceable too. Remember the old in the thing that nobody wanted to hear what the old folks had to say. I could have thrown these old shoes away, but I didn't. I've been a lot of very interesting places in these old shoes. Okay, they're what we're wearing, and how we got dressed this morning. Is kind of similar to those verses from Corinthians. Everything has a point and a purpose to it. I'm wearing a sweater because it's cold out today. I live in northern New York. It's winter time. Okay. I'm wearing shoes. I would always wear shoes here, but I might actually wear a sandal, but not today. Not today. But I have them because when I go down to Haiti, that's my preferred footwear. I wouldn't wear these. I wouldn't wear my family, some of the kids, when I was 4 years ago, I spent Haiti, Christmas in Haiti all by myself. They sent me a Christmas present. They were, they're really good. They're Bog boots, that brand. I mean, they run 100, 100 and a quarter. Black, rubber, and then whatever the other material is up to here. Yeah, I it's a Christmas present. It's good, and it was kind of rainy season, and it was muddy in the gardens and stuff. So I said, "Yeah, this would be good." All I wanted was those little short ones that looked like more of an Oxford sort of thing. But they sent me these big. I'm wearing them now, meaning this year. But down there, I put them on. I couldn't even get them off because they were, my feet were sweating so much, and I couldn't get it past the ankle. Oh, it was horrible. Totally impractical, but that doesn't mean that I have no use for them. I didn't get rid of them. I took them to where I do have use for them, and that's here. Okay? So rather than looking at eyes and toes and ears and which is more important, just look at the articles of clothing that you have on. And I know that at home there are certain things that you haven't used for a while, but you're not going to get rid of them because you do use them occasionally. That's what we have to be looking at now as this group splits up a little bit, but how do we all still at the same time stay together? How do we have unity with this diversity? How do we maintain that? Okay? It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. We have to maintain this oneness somehow. Now, we're not running out of time. We got plenty of time. You're all interested, I can see. I do want to say something about the fact that normally these chairs are all filled, and everybody isn't out traveling around visiting family. There are a lot of people that didn't come today because of this weather. Another symbol. There's an enemy. There is an enemy. And he doesn't want us to assemble on a Sunday morning and sing those worship songs to an almighty God. There is a devil. There is an evil one. It would be naive to think that we aren't going to have immense challenges entering in to the community of Governor. You can see it in a little place like Richville that we, you know, people were prevented from coming to church today to even hear this message, if you want to build it out to that. But there is an enemy out there. And one thing that we always try to do at our Wednesday prayer meetings is pray for the leadership. We pray for Mike Tomford. We pray for Judy Tomford. Years ago, there was the book still exists. I can't remember. He's from out in the Pacific Northwest. It was called Point Man by an evangelical Christian. But it uses the image of that guy that's the lead man in a phalanx in a platoon in Vietnam. And they're going through the jungle. And they know their enemy's out there, but they don't know where the enemy is. They know the enemy's got guns. They know the enemy's got grenades. They know that there are pitfalls. There are trip wires. There's so much out there, but hey, somebody's got to go first. That's the point, man. It is absolutely the most dangerous position to be in. That's our pastor. That's Mike Tomford. Satan can get into the Tomford household in any fashion and discourage Mike Tomford. This group's going to have a problem. The smaller picture of that is in your household. If the man in the house, the man in the family, decides to throw it all away. This is a bunch of nonsense. That family collapses. And the damage that gets done when a pastor succumbs to the attacks of Satan is everybody that I'm looking at right now. Because then all these young kids say, phew, I went to a church, the pastor was as bad as her. No, can't have that. There's a lot of darkness. And they're not going to like the light coming in there. There are plenty of good churches down there, a lot of good people down in Governor. And maybe another time I would be able to share about what happens when, and I shared it with Bob and Mike this last Monday. There was a man that moved into an area, a suburb of Minneapolis, St. Paul. And he had a burden for that place. I don't know anything about Minneapolis, St. Paul. I drove through there one time. But one of the outlying districts is a place called Elk River. And oh, he had a burden for that place. He was what they call a marketplace Christian. He wasn't a pastor. He was just a believer. I think he was an insurance man. Any insurance people in the room? But he, oh boy. I just see what's going on outside my office there on Main Street, USA. Can't stand it. Talked to a few people. They said, why don't we meet at the library and pray about this? And the book that comes out of that is called The Elk River Story. They got so influential in that community that they got involved in the government. The mayor was a born-again Christian. The police chief was a born-again Christian. The fire department, born-again Christian. Everything. Everything went Christian. They didn't do anything, any business of any kind in that community. Let's pray about this. Can you picture that? This is not a book of fiction. This is a real story. It happened. Community transformation. If that happens in Governor, you're not all going to fit in that building down on the Smith Street. It isn't going to work. You're going to need every church in there. Dan, he's nodding. He could name off more of the churches than I could. He's a product of Governor, but he's a believing Christian. But it's not going to be easy, is it? No. There's a certain hardness there that's going to be very difficult to break through. I've often said that there are five Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and your life. How you walk it out. And so if you are one of the people that reside in that in Governor, you're gonna be really examined. And not only by the unchurched, by the ones that are going to those other churches, they're gonna be looking at this. Is there a way? There is, but can we carry it to bring Christ's church in Governor together, unify that group, all those churches? Have an event on neutral ground, the village green there. Have a big dust up where all the churches are represented, preaching one faith. There's one God. There's one baptism. There's one. And it's here in the village green. Could we do that? Yeah, you can. But you got to start today. You got to pray for it today. You got to pray for it every day. Every day. You can't skip a day. It's very doable. I think it's a very exciting time. For those that will remain here, I said in the pre-service prayer, there are very few people that live in Richfield that attend this church. Why is that? I don't know. But we need to reload, refill these chairs. And all we got to do is pull these back and look over that hill. And there's plenty of people that need what God has blessed us with. And so if you're one of the people that checked off, oh, I'm going to continue to attend Richfield, we're going to need help. You heard Nathan stand up and say, all the help that's been, people that are going and pouring time, talent, and treasure into the Richfield facility. But understand, it's Christ's church, and the church is the people, the body of Christ. And if this is done correctly and under the direction of God, then we'll get what, you know, I've been in two services in the last week that referenced Matthew chapter 6, Lord, and where the disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray, and they did the Our Father. I always refer to John 17 as the Lord's Prayer. So let's look at John 17. That's the end of the service, or end of what I have. John 17. Three parts to the 17th chapter. The first part, in this particular translation, says the high priestly prayer. Jesus is praying for himself. The next part is the disciples in the world, and the third part is the future glory. Now, others, if I had an NIV, it would say the future church, us, is the third part. But let's read through here. This is Jesus. This is a red letter edition here. This is Jesus praying. This is before he's gone to Gethsemane or anything. But this is, we want to know the heart of God? This is it. But now I come to you. And these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world's hated them because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. That's what we have to pray, that Satan doesn't get into this work. He's going to try. He's going to target members of this church. He's going to do everything he's got because he likes the darkness in Governor. He likes it like that. Deliver us from the evil one. Jesus says, I'm not taking them out of the world. Keep them from the evil one. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. We are being sent to Governor. You might think it was our idea or your idea. No. No, this is God's idea. It's his idea. He thought this one up for such a time as this. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, those that we will evangelize, those that will hear the gospel for the first time, or those that will hear the full gospel. Verse 21, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The last verses of chapter 17. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you've loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you've given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I've known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I've made your name known to them and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. We have a very precious gift, but the only way you can keep it is to give it away. We can't keep this for ourselves. It's why I believe that this church is being sent to Governor. To my knowledge, none of you have been told that, oh, you live in Governor, then you have to go to the Governor Church. Oh, you live north of Richfield, then you have to come. Nobody's told you that. We passed around a clipboard and you clicked off where I'm going to serve. This is where I tend to set down some roots. That's what you checked off. Are you locked into that? No. I would hope that we would maintain, remember I read that, it said if one suffers, we all suffer. So if there's struggles down there, somebody from here better go help them. If there are struggles here, some from down there better come here. That's all about communication, folks. We communicate with our Heavenly Father. We have to pray unendlessly, just without ceasing, pray. We have to do that. But then, you know, we have to talk to each other. We have to say, well, this person is gifted in that area. I'll pick on Jamie because I don't like to pick on his father. You're a banker, right? Okay. He knows, because of his training and his expertise in that, I would be foolish if somebody came to me and I'm having some problems with this. Well, you can talk to me and everything, but why don't you talk to Jamie? You know, he's a professional. He knows what he's talking about. It's the same thing. If I smash up my car, I go to Harry Harmer. If we've had appliance problems or heating problems, we talk to Jack Gardner. You have plenty of talent here. Nathan stood and said how much work is being done by people. Some of them do it professionally, some of them, they just know how to do it. The church will be strong if we trust each other. We communicate with each other. This is all the physical stuff. The spiritual stuff, pray for one another and lean on Jesus. What was the song that Rob said? You know, this is my New Year's Day song. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Okay? You can have all this other stuff, but you give me Jesus. That's what Richfield Christian Fellowship is being charged to do, to go to Governor and give him what? What? Who? A little louder.
Jesus.
Give him Jesus. Don't be afraid of it. See, if you're afraid to shout that out here, you're going to struggle, folks. You're going to struggle. If you can't go up to somebody that's a perfect stranger and say, what's going on with you? I'm not saying with this. I'm not saying not that. But when you see somebody that's got a problem, you have to be bold and go and say, you seem upset, or you see, what seems to be the problem with the car? You know, you're under the hood. Can I give you a ride? I don't know too much about fuel injection. Can I give you a ride somewhere? That's what you have to do. That's that fifth gospel. That's being Jesus. He didn't walk by. He didn't walk by anybody. That's what you have to do. I have to be done. We have to be done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bearing with us. And we have to trust you. The disciples said, well, where else would we go? Where else would we go? But we have a great salvation. I love the songs that were sung here, the praise songs. I love the hymn about giving us wisdom. I just pray, Lord, you would put a hedge of protection around our leaders, around Mike Tomford in particular, not limited to him. But I also ask you for all the pastors of all the churches in the North Country. We prayed on Friday night in Moira and said, and somebody said, we want fire to break out, fire to come down here in this church. And I said, I'll tell you, we're praying the same thing in Richville. And if fire breaks out, revival breaks out in Franklin County and Moira, we'll all come and witness it. And we'll all trust that when it breaks out in Richville, you come here too. I don't care. I'm not selective. But I do want revival in this. I want my world. I want St. Lawrence County to acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. Amen. I want an end to the violence. I want an end to the addictions. I want an end to all of that stuff. And there's only one way we're going to get that, through Jesus Christ. And so it is a heavy burden, but Jesus said, I'll take my end of it. Mm-hmm. But we have to do our end. Thank you, Jesus. It says, O come, desire of the nations, bind the peoples in one heart and mind. This is O come, Emmanuel. Bind the peoples in one heart and mind. Bind envy and strife and quarrels. Have them cease. Fill all the world with the heaven's peace. May that be our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all. God bless you.
Thanks for sharing that, Brian. That was a really, really good word. Just as he was sharing, I was just thinking of Paul's chapter in 1 Corinthians 12, and also right on in chapter 14, Paul's talking about gifts. Sandwiched in between that, he gets to the end of chapter 12, and he says, and now I'll show you the most excellent way. And then he talks about love. And even the end of chapter 4, we see in Ephesians, he says, the body grows as each part does its work, and it builds itself up in love. And really, that's the glue that's going to hold this all together, is we love God and we love one another, and we serve one another because we love God. And, amen. Thanks so much for that word, Brian. We really appreciate that. If anyone has any prayer requests, we'd love to pray for you. Anything you need to pray about, feel free to come forth. But, bless the Lord. We'll see you again. All right. Take care. Have a great day. See you.
City on the hill, said one old man to the other. It once shined bright and it would be shining still, but they all started turning on each other. You see, the poets thought the dancers were shallow, and the soldiers thought the poets were weak. And the elders saw the young ones as foolish, and the rich man never heard the poor man speak. And one by one they ran away with their made-up minds to leave it all behind. And the light began to fade in the city on the hill, the city on the hill. Each one thought that they knew better, but they were different by design. Instead of standing strong together, they let their differences divide. And one by one, they ran away with their made-up minds to leave it all behind. And the light began to fade in the city on the hill. The city on the hill. And the world is searching still. Was the rhythm of the dancers that gave the poets life? It was the spirit of the poets that gave the soldiers strength to fight. It was the fire of the young ones. It was the wisdom of the old. It was the story of the poor man that made it to the